This morning, I just wanted to speak with us on the ingredients for spiritual growth. The what? The ingredients for spiritual growth. You understand, there are many species out there. There are many different kinds of living organisms that are out in the world. And so it's important that for growth, that we understand the species that is growing and what to apply to it. Because different species use different things to grow. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38 and 39. It says, but God gives to the body that he plants and sees fit. And each kind of seed, a body of what? A body of its own. Verse 39. For all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for beasts, another for birds, and what? And another for fish. So in applying ingredients for growth, we must consider the object that we are applying that growth to. This is to avoid misapplication. Because if you misapply the ingredients, if you give an ingredient that is made for a bird to a goat, it will cause a growth problem. So you'll be suffering feeding that animal, feeding that thing, and see no growth. Praise the Lord. And because you didn't start, because most of the time what happens is that, you know, we always like to go ahead. Sometimes the human beings will go ahead, we just want to do what we need to do. So if it's feeding, we want to go and feed the thing. But it's important that you move back and start from the position is that, what am I feeding? What kind of specimen it is? What kind of organism it is? Amen? Because if you don't, that is where, even though you're working to feed that thing, you begin to damage it from beginning. And you're laboring and you say, I'm doing all this work. How come it's what? It is not growing. Praise the Lord. So also in applying ingredients for growth, we must consider that object and avoid that. So each one needs necessary ingredients for growth. Nothing can grow without applying the necessary and proper growth ingredients. So in other words, so the ingredients are not for growth. There are things that you just put in. Sometimes there are things that apply on a flower or something for the color to come out. But it's not going to make it grow. All it's just going to do is change the colors. So if you're looking for growth and you begin to apply things that change color, colors will be changing and no growth will be happening. And it will also bring frustration. Praise the Lord. So it becomes very important. And so the right ingredient should be applied to avoid growth being affected. If growth is affected, the ability will also be greatly affected. So when growth is affected, what happens is that there's something that you were told that can bring down this house will perform subpar. You will not be even able to carry this chair. And then you begin to go, they lied to me. But what has happened is that even though it has this potential to bring down the house, you have not applied the right ingredients, and now it can't reach its potential. So it's very important. It's very important to know, especially know the kind of ingredient to apply for it. Even in medicine, you also have to make sure that it's an ingredient that thing can use. Because even in medicine, I understand they say there's something that's called organ match, right? So you can bring something and apply it. It looks like what you took out from there before is A, and you bring something that's A and you put it and it rejects it. Praise the Lord. It's rejected because it is not a perfect fit match for it. So also in growth and in applying growth, you should also be careful to understand that what you're applying, is it the perfect match for that thing, or does it just look like it? Praise the Lord. Because why all these things, I'm putting all this background in place, that is important. Because if all these things are not considered very well and you jump into growing something, one might meet frustration because all these main things has not been taken into consideration. Praise the Lord. So, and also in growth, there are different stages. So like children, you give them milk. Amen? And if you give a child that was once a bottle of milk, it can sustain him for an hour or 2 hours. But now if you come and meet a grown-up like me and pour a little milk to me and I eat and you say that is your breakfast, then if you, by the time you do that 1 month or 3 months, you see that the things that I'm doing, I can't do them anymore because there will be no what? So also in ingredients, there are stages to it. There are food that is meant for stage one. There's food that's meant for stage two. And there's food that's meant what? For stage two. There's food that's meant for children. And there is food that's meant for adults. Praise the Lord. So it's important. So even if a food is nutritious and you give a child's portion to an adult or give the child food that's meant for a child to an adult, even though it's nutritious, even though it's great food, but it has been misapplied, amen? It has been given for something that's looking for something that's more mature, and you are giving in a baby thing. So when you watch that thing, the growth of that thing will also be, be stunted. So I wanted to set this background to know how important it is that when you're thinking about growth, you must bring these things into consideration. Whenever you think about growth, is it growth in your business? Is it growth in your life? Is it growth in your own health? Is it growth in your children? Make sure it's balanced and understand that in applying anything to growth, that there's always a decision that must be made first. Don't just jump and begin to grow something because you might be applying the wrong thing to it, or you might be applying it, misapplying to it, or be giving it something that is not due for it. Praise the Lord. So that's what I wanted to know. So as we are talking about the ingredients that's necessary for spiritual growth, I needed for us to know the growth process of things that we do. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. So we are talking now about spiritual growth. So it's a spirit. So now we want to do what? We want to grow what? We want to grow a spirit. Praise the Lord. We don't want to grow flesh. We don't want to grow banana. Praise the Lord. We don't want to grow birds. We want to grow a spirit. And what is one key characteristic of a spirit? You can't see it. That's one key characteristic of a spirit. You can't see a spirit. So now you want to grow something you can't what? You can't see. Praise the Lord. So that's the foundation as we begin to go. So when you come to Christ, what it means to you means all of us. When we came to Christ, what happened? You were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ did what? Performed a spiritual circumcision, which is the cutting away of what? So what first happened? What you have to understand that when you came to Christ, there is a circumcision that happened. You did not see it. Amen? You probably did not feel it. Because sometimes you can be emotional, but you really don't feel born again. People try to feel it. Amen? But the truth is that when we came to Christ, there is a circumcision that happened, but it was not a physical procedure, but still something happened where the sinful nature, the sensual nature, the evil nature was what? It was cut off. So when that sinful nature was cut off, it became necessary that spirit will be replaced with something. Because you know, that spirit, you see, when the spirit leaves a person, they die. That is why there is hell and there is heaven. They say, if the spirit, let's say some people will go, because, I mean, when people die, you bury them now and they rot down there. So what is going to hell? It's a spirit. Praise the Lord. So it leaves. So when he cut that one out, because it's part of being alive, he put something in replacement to that. And the new nature that God gave us is what the Bible now calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, God's Spirit, God's nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not what? Received a spirit that makes you what? Fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit. Instead, you did what? You received God's Spirit. I'm trying very hard so I don't block you guys sin. Instead, you received God's Spirit. So when that nature was cut off, when he removed that old sinful spirit, that old sinful man, it was replaced now with what? With the Spirit of God. He said, instead you receive God's Spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, now we can call him what? Abba Father. So a circumcision happened. So you as a Christian, understand that now, that sinful nature has been cut off from you. You don't feel it. And it has been, a new spirit has been given to you. God's own spirit now what? Is in you. So now, that spirit is new to you. It's new to us because it wasn't there before. Praise the Lord. So which means now to us, that is in us, that spirit has to what? Grow. I mean, take for example, you have children. You are all adults. When you go and have a baby through human will, have a baby, when it comes out, it has everything that you guys have. If it's a boy, it has everything his dad has. If it's a girl, it has everything his dad has. But it's new. But it's the spirit of his dad. It's human. It has everything that makes human human. But it's over time that it begins to, as it grows, and depend on how it grows, the environment it grows to, what it was given to, begins to defend how they begin to define how strong or the ability at which it can perform. But that time when it was giving birth to, it was a human being. But the only thing is that it needed now to what? To grow. So that's why immediately that child is born, right there, they begin, because most of the time if the mother cannot lactate, okay. Man, I'm getting too medical for myself. That's what happens when you're surrounded with too many doctors. Well, when you kind of like that, they start saying, try. So they say, this is what this child needs now. This is what this child needs now. So what happened now? Because in that time, some people cannot like it. People started going into the laboratory, coming up with all kinds of things, milk that has different ingredients. And as years has gone on, they have advanced those milks so much, you know, to put all kinds of iron, all kinds of things, to kind of try to simulate the original thing that comes from the mother. But they can never get it perfect. Praise the Lord. Am I correct? They can never get it. Okay, you are a kid's doctor, so you should know. They can never. So the best they still say is that main thing that came from. But the milk that we're giving children 15, 30 years ago, the milk they're giving them now has improved. So they keep improving it because they are lean. They see that even with all of that the child cannot go. There's certain things that are missing. And then breastfeeding begins the perfect thing. But since we cannot do, to alternate breastfeeding, we can do what? We can begin to give them this. So they are children. They are children, even though they look completely human being, eyes, ears, everything. So you have the spirit, God's spirit. When he adopted your son, when he cut off that other spirit, the evil spirit, the spirit of the devil, all that, what is called the sinful nature, that's all names that spirit has. It was replaced with this spirit. This spirit is God's spirit, but now you have received that spirit. He says now, because it's new to you, it is a new baby, but it's a full spirit. So now it's a full spirit, but it has to now grow to do everything that is intrinsically in a spirit to do, in God's spirit to do. Praise the Lord. Same way that when you have that baby, you have to begin to grow and begin to feed him well, begin to do what's necessary. That baby will grow up to do everything that human beings can do. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. I use this measure. It doesn't matter if you take a dog that is 50 years, you can't replace that. If you bring a dog at that same time and put him there, you can never. I'm trying to feed him the same thing you're feeding. If you take milk, because I've seen dogs who they feed the milk, right? Even if you feed him milk and everything, he can't develop to do what human beings do. So what makes him a human being is not that thing he's eating, but what brings him to the potential of what that thing can do is the things that you're feeding him. Praise the Lord. So you have God's spirit. You didn't make it. It was not yours. You did not create it. Your children did not bring themselves into this world. The two of you, a man and a woman, decide before it happens. It's a decision that's independent of that child. You receiving God's spirit has nothing to do with you. It's not because you're holy or less holy. It's just that when you came to Christ and said, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, he did the circumcision. That's what he does. Same way that a husband and wife get together and say, we have to have a child. And they do what? They bring a child. It's important that. So now we have a spirit of God. So as we have this spirit now, this new spirit is the one that can access God. That is why before, if somebody is not born again and has not, that circumcision has not happened, the Bible says that he's in this world without hope and without God. He has no access. I don't care how good it is, he is. I don't care how much he fasts. He says because he doesn't have God's spirit in him, he is what? Without God and what? Without hope. So now it is this spirit. It is this spirit that gives us access to all that God has. Praise the Lord. It is this spirit now that cues you to your inheritance. That is why now, because you know that this spirit is everything to you. That's why, like my sister was praying in the morning, that God, please, that we begin to see that having his word and developing this spirit is the most important thing anybody can do. So you raising your child properly is the best thing you can give him. Because if you just leave him wandering around and just keep him 50 million and say when you die, he will take the inheritance. Immediately you die, he takes that inheritance and he will squash it.
So the best thing you do is to begin to develop him in humankind so he can act like a human, so he can do what humans do, so he can be healthy like a... That's what you begin to do. So all the promises, all promises that God has made is through that spirit. It's his spirit. All the things that he says you can do. When he's saying you, now he's speaking about that spirit.
Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because what? Because we are united with Christ. Because we have that spirit. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have what? We have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out what? Work out according to his plans. Because of that spirit. Praise the Lord. So now you have that spirit. So all these things now, it's available. It can happen for you. Because that spirit is there. So as we feed the earthly man, feed him with burger, steak, rice, all those things. Feed him with movies. You know the earthly man, that's why that we're talking about the person who went to visit. I said, come take all these things out. The thing that will heal him, her, she wasn't feeding that thing. But she was feeding the earthly man. She was watching the movies and the body was feeling okay. Praise the Lord. The music. That's why when people come to me and say, Pastor, what's wrong with this? I don't know where to start. But somebody's listening to something and you say, and that's why I don't believe in just telling people, don't listen to something. Because it becomes like a law. A law does not do anything to anybody. But if somebody begins to understand this thing we are talking from where it's happening, then he'll know that there's something he has that needs to be fed to grow. And that thing really, that him, that spirit, is what keeps him. It's what really their life is. So now, the person will now even know. How do you know that there's certain kind of food that's put in front of you and you say, I don't want to eat. And I'm trying to lose weight. Or I don't want to eat this. I have my blood pressure. How do you know that? Did anybody chase you? You just, because you knew, maybe your doctor or somebody told you that this will do that to you. You by yourself begin to make that decision. You see, that's why the Christian is not under the law. That's why anyone that's under grace, the law is just nonsense to him. It doesn't make any sense. Because he knows, those things that inside the Spirit of God is working in him. So you don't need to be telling him, don't do this, don't do that. That's not what drives him. So we need to feed it. And we feed it with spiritual food. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10. It says, put on, Colossians chapter 3 verse 10. It says, put on your what? Your new nature. Now he says, put on your new nature. That's why sometimes you see your child or somebody is acting a different way. You say, come on, act your age. What you're telling him, put your nature. You are a man, you are at this place, you're supposed to do this. You have it. What you're telling him that, use what you have. Praise the Lord. He says now, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So the way you are renewed is when you begin to learn and to feed that the spirit that you have and begin to feed that God spirit that is in you now. That is how you learn to know your Creator and now you become what? Like Him. There was an old movie, I don't know, long time ago, the kids' channel, it's called Tarzan. And they say he was raised up by monkeys. Right? I don't know if it's true. So he was little and they say the monkeys carried him and went into the jungle. Did you guys say? And then, if you see him, he's acting like them. He's jumping and he's doing everything. So what happened is that even though he has a nature of man, an anomaly has, they have gone and showed him a different way. But he's saying that the way now, this nature, he said you have it already. He said you have it. So don't go be praying that to become, if you receive Christ, you're holy. And I'll show you. You're holy because if you are born of human beings, you are a human being. If you are born of God, God is holy. You are what? You're holy. You don't go to make yourself holy. Praise the Lord. But he says that how you begin to learn about your holiness, who you are,
is that you begin to learn it, you renew as you learn to know your Creator. You begin to learn to know God. And how you learn to know God is the things that God has said. How you raise your children. You don't raise your children by coming every day and just stand up. You say, honey, if you eat, remove your plate. So it is your words that are raising your children. Right? And the way you raise dogs are with different words. You say, most times you don't talk. Or you make like this. And then he... So the way you raise them is different. So you say the way you raise this spirit that God has given you, that you have that Holy Spirit, that God spirit, you put on that nature and you be renewed how you learn to know your Creator. So he begins to grow. So there is a source. I'll show us two things. There is a source of growth for this spiritual man and there's ingredient for this spiritual man. You know, the source to find something and the thing itself is two different things. Amen? So the way to get cash is in the bank. But how to make cash is that job. You go work. So the source of the money is different from the money. So the source of growth for this spiritual man, it is God's spirit, so he's the only source of its growth. Praise the Lord. Your child is a human spirit. The only source of that child being developed is human's reason. Can't be raised by anything else. So no, I don't care what anybody is telling you. It cannot. You can't develop your spirit by doing anything that is not God. And the more you spend time to do what is God, the more that spirit grows. There's no, you can't do it by magic. You can't wish it away. You can't be nice about it. That's just simply how it is. That because it is God's spirit, the only source for its growth is what? Is God. There's no other source. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. So it says, may God give you more and what? And more grace and peace as you grow in what? In your knowledge of God and what? And Jesus our Lord. The only way you begin to get more, the only way you begin to grow that spirit, the only way it is more of it is through your knowledge of God and what? And Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Let nobody fool you. If you don't know the word of God and the people that go in their town, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with it. They decide that they're going to build a huge church and give their town. That is good. But if you do that and you are not growing in the knowledge of God, you can't do exploit. But that's a worthy thing. Praise the Lord. No matter the good, and I'll show us, we go to do. Yes. Praise the Lord. So it becomes important to understand that the only source for it is God. And it is God that gives you more and more grace and peace as you grow in that knowledge. So we go to God's word, and by the products of God's word. They are byproducts of God's word. Like he was saying, messages. Now, if you listen to this message, or if you go now online, Onyeka was going to demo this for us again today, but he said he left something at home, so I'll just talk over it where you can get our messages. If you go and keep listening to this, now, this, my message, is a byproduct, right? Because I've extracted, I've gleaned out of the word of God through revelation, and I'm sharing, as God has put me, he says, I put in church pastors. He said the reason is so he can build up what? The saints. So now as I'm doing that, it's a byproduct of God's word. It's God's word, but it's a Bible. So the only way you can do that is through you, the word of God itself, and it was as it was same earlier in the morning, listening to messages of the word of God, listening to songs of worship of God. If you give 10 minutes to it, if you give 10 minutes to it a day and use 23.50 minutes of the rest of the day to listen to everything else, you will not grow. You will grow as a 10 minutes. That spirit will grow a 10 minute spirit. So if they say that all things are possible through that spirit, it cannot be possible for you. But for that spirit, it is. So if you say that a child is growing up, that he can lift up when he's 10, he can do this. You people do milestones in growth. Do milestones. They say in this trait, he can do this. When he gets to that age, he can't do it. Because all we have done then is that we're only giving him 10 minutes out of 24 hours, and the other 23 minutes
23 hours and 50 minutes, we have done what? We have used it to feed something else. So that thing will be grown instead of the spirit. That's why Christians get frustrated. And then if you think that it is when they tell you to carry this chair, when it's time to carry this chair, the person now run and say, I'm beginning to feed that spirit. You can cause it. That's why I say there's proper way of feeding. Do you know you can overfeed a child, start throwing up? Same thing happens. So what Christians sometimes do is that they never feed themselves. And so when they're going something, you tell them that spirit can do all these things. They say they believe it, and they go to do it. They fall because the spirit, it begins to throw up. You can't compete. You are just overfeeding it. Something that's supposed to eat 3 times a day or 5 times a day. What you do one day, and something you were only giving 10 minutes of food. Now you decide to start giving it food from morning to what? A pass out. You see, if you understand these things as your Christian work begun, you will see that you'll be doing tremendous exploits. But these things are simple. It's not just, you know, so why I like to make these things very simple and break it down is that I don't want to be talking, woo, all these preachers tell you, the Lord moved, he moved, finished, the person go home, nothing is moving. But if you just know how to do it, that just changes you do in your life. And it'll be incredible how the Spirit of God, because it's in you, begin to do exploits in your life. Think how you've been encountering things and going over them, things that were falling apart before, because now strength and power is available. Praise the Lord. So, we listen to these things, and that's how we build it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And why is it so, like I was saying, why it says that? Because it is not in your own strength that you can do anything. It says, it's not in your strength, for it is God who is all the while what? Effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to what? And to walk for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. It is him, it is his power, it is the human power that is in you that makes you be human. That is why the human brain or anything, if it is poisoned or something happened to it, somebody starts barking like a dog. Yeah, or become crazy. Or if you can use some kind of drug and it messes the human brain, the way humans will, the person become naked and start acting inhuman. So it is that spirit, it is God himself, it is he willing and doing. You can't take control and be doing that spirit. You feed it and you do what it's supposed to do. It's intrinsic in it what it's supposed to do. The DNA is already, remember the other song that was saying, I tell you that you have the DNA of God in you. The DNA is already there to do those things. You don't have to make it do it. It's there to do it. All you have to do is feed it. So the spirit is not grown by self-will. So when you find that you're deficient in your life, it's not a time that you become more determined. Go and cry, say, Lord, now I'm going to do it. Now, because you cry finish, you're not going to do it. When you find that you're deficient in the place of this power, you go begin to feed the spirit. Because it's the spirit that does these things. You cannot do it. He said, by yourself, you can do what? Nothing. So spirituality is when you find that you have short temper with your wife or with your husband, everything. It's not you go cry in the room and say, I'm going to become better. No, you will not. Because you did not produce the love. You can't. When you see that is when you go back to the word of God and begin to do what? Feed that spirit. Feed that spirit. And then you see next time as that spirit is growing, the next time that same thing will happen. You won't shout. So what Christians do that they make a mistake. They think that they are Christians. They are good. So if that happened, they say, I'm going to try. They cry. So people cry all night. People feel bad. People feel sad. But the same thing that is happening is what? It's happening. And they start saying, when you tell them that God can change you, they don't believe it. Because the feeding is not. They don't know what they have, how to feed it, what to feed it, when to feed it. Nobody taught them that. And this is when, you see, people, this is one of the times that fasting becomes of value. Because when you see this, what it means is that your flesh is having ascendancy over the spirit. This is the reason why fasting is in place. Not to go and beg God anything. Because you already have that spirit to do those things. You have that spirit that have access to God already. You have that spirit that can receive from God already. So what this is when fasting needs, when you see those things happen, to quench your body and feed. Do you know that when you're fasting and stuff, watching movies and all that thing, your body just don't want physical things, you're just tired. That is when you now want to. That's where the value of fasting is. Praise the Lord. So our acts of goodness and piety does not grow the spirit.
So by saying that you're going to do more good things to grow the spirit, it's just foolish, because you can't do good. Any good you do is coming from the spirit.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23.
He said, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces it? The Holy Spirit, not us. So if the Holy Spirit is weak, if there's nothing in it, nothing cannot be produced. He produces in his life love, joy, peace, patience. So when you see that you're losing patience as a Christian, feed the word of God. Let your faith feed it. If you feed it, maybe you see your patience begin to come back. But if you begin to say, Lord, I came today to... That's why sometimes when they call people to come to altar, I see like in pictures, everybody rush and come, they say they came to rededicate themselves and tell God what they will do. I begin to laugh and say, every day they're telling God what to do. They can't do what... They can't do what only God does. So dedicating oneself or dedicating oneself is coming to God, says, I'm going to listen more to your word. That becomes an education. So now that we've seen the source, I want us to look at the ingredients. Look at some of the ingredients. One of the key ingredients to grow your spiritual man is prayer. And I'll show you what kind of prayer. It's very, very critical. And if Christians know this, it will help us a lot. Ephesians chapter 1, 16 to 17. So now we're looking at the ingredients. I have not stopped, this is the Apostle Paul speaking when he heard about people who have received this spirit. He says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you, what? Constantly. And 17, what is that prayer? Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to do what? To give you spiritual wisdom. He didn't say to give you shoes, to build you houses, to give you a new Jeep, to give you a new wife. No, that was not what he was praying. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for those things. But I'm trying to show you how the spirit is fed so that when it's strong, it begins to produce all these other things people spend all night looking for. Praise the Lord. Do you know that if I have an opportunity of a business deal and I go there and I mess it up, do you know that the wealth that's going to come to me from there will not come? I don't care if I prayed 77 hours. If I go there and people can't do business with me, say I lie, it won't happen. So, he said to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in what? In your knowledge of God. So what he said, grow that spirit. If you have insight, spiritual wisdom grows it. If you begin to get spiritual wisdom, it will grow that spirit. Through your knowledge of God, you begin to grow. Now, you say, why prayer? This is the key area where praying the spirit is very critical. The spirit knows spiritual wisdom. See, you don't know spiritual wisdom. That's why revelation of the word says the spirit himself that reveals the word. He said he will take from me and he will stand and reveal to you, he will show you. It's the spirit that reveals this thing. So as you read me, it's revealing. So is it no wonder that Apostle Paul, who was making this prayer, requesting for spiritual understanding, he told the people in the church in the 1 Corinthians 14:18. He said, I thank God that I speak what? In tongues more than any of you. And I'll show you something. Prayer. Spiritual wisdom. Deep things of God that you don't know what to pray for. So, and that's why he was praying for them for spiritual wisdom. And he said, look, I speak in tongues more than everybody. And he started, that's why Pastor Paul, wherever he goes and sees a Christian, the first thing he's asking him, he says, have you been baptized of the Holy Spirit? Because he knew how critical for prayer, for one, because he knows how to where to grow. Look at the book of Acts. Wherever he goes, immediately he sees a Christian, the first thing he's asking him, he said, have you received Paul visit? That manifested, have you received to prayer? Can you look at it? Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. He said, I thank God I preached more than. He said, now, verse 1, he said, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found what? Several believers. They were believers. Verse 2. The first he begins to ask them, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is what? There is the Holy Spirit. They thought that you just get born again. They don't know that that something happened. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked them. And they replied, the baptism of John. Now go down to verse 6. Don't waste. So go down to verse 6. That's him 19, 6 and 7.
And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit what? Came upon them. And they what? They spoke with tongues and what? And prophesied. Verse 7. Now the men were about what? 12 now. So what Paul was doing, he said, look, pray for spiritual wisdom. So he saw these people. He says, have you people sent the Holy Spirit? They say, no, we just got baptized and we're following Christ. He said, and you people don't have the Holy Spirit? He said, come on. I said, when he lay hands on them, they received. You see, they have it. They had it. They had it. Having and receiving is two different things. They had it. You can't receive something that has not been given to you. He said, no man can receive anything unless he has what? Given. Has been given. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. So this is why the Christian, this is where praying in tongues is a deep thing for the Christian, to grow that spirit. Because sometimes you don't know. But you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. He himself begin to pray and be requesting for what he needs. What he needs to grow. What he needs to go. You don't know. Sometimes you don't know. You can be praying that what you need is that you're going to church. But that, you can begin to pray in that Holy Spirit. It leads you to a place that you never thought that that's where you're going to go to. And that is where, boom, your life will begin to change. 18, he said, pray in the Spirit what? At all times and in every occasion. And in every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray in the Spirit. Jude 20. Jude 20. He said, but you, beloved, do what? Building yourselves up in what? In your most holy faith. Your holy faith, that holy, the thing, you see, he called it holy. Remember I said, if I say you're holy, what you receive is the Holy Spirit. When he cut off that new nature, it's Holy Spirit, it's God's Spirit, it's Christ's Spirit, it's all holy. Trinity, three in one, you can call it the Holy Spirit, you can call it God's Spirit. But that the point is that it, everywhere where it is called, he said that thing was what? Holy. He said, how you build that holy thing? How you build that holy thing? He said, build yourself. Now he begins to say, you are your holy self. And another Christian, some Christians don't even know that they have a holy self. So they're trying to do acts to make them holy. So when you go in place, they're talking about moral codes, And nobody can keep them. So hypocrisy is everywhere. But they don't know that they have received a Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. And God is holy. And they'll tell you that, God is holy. He will not be called iniquity. Yes, he's holy. But that holy God now is what? In you. So he says, the way you build that holy in you, so then you too now, as that holy, that thing is getting building ascendancy, as that Holy Spirit is building ascendancy, it begins to overcome your flesh and your eyes. He says, one of the key ways that you pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. It's critical for a Christian. But anyway, I'm not teaching on that today. But I know that prayer, one of them, and the kind of prayer that's effective for building the Holy Spirit that you have, God's Spirit that you have, is praying what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. The second ingredient is the Word. And we've talked a lot about the Word today, so I'm not going to spend much time to it. 1 Peter 2:2 say, like newborn babes, you must crave the pure spiritual milk. He was praying this morning, he said, Lord, the desire. You can only drink to the uttermost what you desire. You can only give yourself to anything that you have a desire for. If you have mixed priorities, your desire will be divided. But anything that you desire, no, people can pull you out of it. He says, so desire and crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of what? Of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. That's why choosing the place you go to church is critical. Don't make the decision based on how many people that are there. Eh? Or how far it is. Don't make a decision. That's why you see through the decision that, I can't go there. Oh, but the word they're teaching, my life was changing. But I have to just travel too much. And then I have to go to work and I have to sleep 3 hours. They make all excuses. And so that's why you're watching the life. The main thing that's supposed to invest the most, they invest the least. Because they didn't understand. They didn't understand.
Be responsive to the word of God. We were talking about that this morning. By applying its promises, be responsive to the word of God by applying its promises. That means be active in your faith. That's how you build that spirit. That's how you build that spirit. Be responsive. I'm not going to, I have a couple of verses. I'm going to skip them because if you are here in Sunday school this morning, we talked about that. You be responsive. The word, when you read the word, if the word says that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed, begin to be responsive to it. Do something about it. James 1:23. For if anyone listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. 24. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes away and probably forgets everything. So he comes to the mirror and sees his face and saw that when he was eating food, that there's something all over his face here. Instead of him doing an action of doing what? Wiping it. Immediately leaves the mirror. You ask him, what does your face look like? He doesn't even. The person comes to church. That's why I say, we don't hear at once. Buy this message or make notes. He's just waiting for church to close. Or he's doing quiet time. He set the time and it's a religious activity. He just wants to tell everybody that he has done it. I don't know why. It's the person. It's my life. Why should I be worrying about you? So it becomes important for us to do that. Another key thing. If you have time, I want to. If you're writing down, take 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 to 8. I don't have time to do that. As a matter of fact, you know, let me just read it out, but I won't elaborate. Let me read it out, just in case if you don't have. So it's in the message. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Do what? Make every effort to do what? To respond. Make every effort to respond. Don't just listen, then I don't respond. Respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. So faith needs faith extender. There's something that carries the faith. Faith is not in a vacuum. He said, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. So as we are talking that, yeah, it's not moral code that does it, doesn't. But moral excellence is important. If you're going around violating, I said that many times. If you're going around violating moral laws, your faith can be strong. So that's the other extension, the other side of people who don't understand what grace is talking about. They keep thinking that grace is just violating your moral laws. If you keep violating, you can't even have grace. Because guilty conscience will be killing you. And grace is supposed to take that out, and it can take it out. He said your moral excellence with knowledge. Right? With knowledge. And knowledge, continue verse 6. You just go quick to move to it. And knowledge with self-control. Have self-control. Have self-control. If you give yourself to something, stand to it. Let your yes be yes. In your home, if you tell your wife, I'm going to do this. If you can't do it, explain. Don't use Garaga to intimidate the person. Tell him, look, I couldn't, but I'll do it. Self-control. And with self-control, do what? Patience and endurance. Don't live a McDonald's life. Don't be going through drive-through issues of life.
Praise the Lord. And verse 8, just go to verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive you are. See, I show you how to do. The more you grow in that way, supplementing your faith with moral excellence, patience, self-control. He said, the more you're growing in that way, the more productive and useful you will be in what? In your knowledge. That spirit will grow. That spirit will grow. The other thing we must do is embrace challenges. This is a part of religion that's not taught anymore. As much as all the blessings of Abraham, that's true. In Christ, we have been blessed. There's no question about it. But Jesus Christ says that I've told you all these things. Because in this world, you're going to have trials and you're going to have what? Tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer because I've done what? I've overcome this world. Part to grow this spirit is that embrace challenges. When challenges come, embrace them. Stand. Let me tell you, most of us here has become what we are in certain areas of our life because of challenges we faced. And we stood and it made us a better person. That's how you grow this spirit. It's not by avoid every challenge. Someone have a little challenge. They will do night vigil. They will do this. They will stand now.
Take it out right away. So if they go to this pastor, they leave this church, they see you right away, they say you're a pastor. That's it, pastor, I need to talk to you. It's a challenge. It's in this world. It grows you. Look at the Bible. It grows you. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it what? I thought he says it's only when you get a new Jeep or when you get that big job. Or when all your children are all doing super well. I thought that's only when we're supposed to have great joy. He said, no. Consider it what? An opportunity. Challenges for this is an opportunity for this spirit to grow and prove to you what you have. Prove to you what you have. Is it in sickness? It is an opportunity. Anybody that sees around me, I keep sharing my... See, everybody has to share the word. You see, what testimony is where you have been tested and you overcame? Testimony is not coming and just be lying and dancing. Our testimony stands. Wherever they see you, that's what Paul, whenever they see you, say, I was on my way to Damascus. They saw him 15 years old. His testimony, even the day he was dying, the testimony there. It's not somebody to share testimony today. You meet him 5 years ago and say, ah, sister, you were the one that shared that testimony. He said, oh, which testimony? Yeah. It was something that happened. I keep sharing the testimony. How this my knee? I refused. They say I put titanium. I said, this knee? Come on, put now. 11 years later, I'm running. I'm kicking. Not kicking. I cannot. I don't even know how to. I'm doing kick in the gym. All kinds of things with this knee. And I'm not in my 20s. Either am I in my 30s. You challenges. It grows it. Verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has what? A chance to grow. So it's not preached today. Every little thing they say, come, let me take it out. So you come with sickness. Everybody wants to pray with you. Don't sit down and show you the word of God. Say, my sister, it is well. Some people, you tell them that, they become offended. They say, your own pastor is not a good pastor. I say, oh, yeah, go now. And you see them 3-4 years later, they can't overcome. They are running from one place to other. They start hiding when they see you because the problem is still there. They don't. They didn't take what you were telling them. Now, they said there was a shortcut. Embrace challenge. Another key thing to grow this spirit, encourage others. Be a what? An encourager. Stir others. Your fellow brethren, stir them into good works. Stir them into work of love. Don't be somebody just say, mine is the worst. No, yours is not the worst. Yours is not the worst, my sister, my brother. It's not. That spirit grows through us. You encourage other people. See them, they're going to, you say, God can do it. As you're encouraging them, that spirit, you're encouraging that spirit, even your own issue that this one. As depression, you know, depression comes to put you down. You come, you see the other person, you say, God can do this. It begins to do what? Build it. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 to 25. We're almost done. Let us think of ways. So you sit down, part of growing, you begin to think, you not only think of ways of me, not thinking me. Let us think of ways. That's why when this person came to me on Tuesday about this drum, I was so excited. And it's a very, let me not give any, it was amazing. I said, wow, you think like this? He came to life and said, Pastor, you think I'm a crazy person? I think like this. Looking for ways to stare. When I found out how much that person paid for his own, and have an insight on the financial state of that person, I was amazed. And he just wanted to stare. Was this, you know, when we lost all our music today, right? If we were using that old drum, we would have lost it too. Because that old drum was a digital drum, was plugged in. But when it was gone today, this one, which is a, what do you call this one? Acoustic. It was playing. And we were stirred up. So everything was not down. I was just, what is going on? We got stirred up. Because somebody looked for a way to stir. So think of ways to motivate one another. Think of it. Motivate one another to acts of love and what? And good works. Verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is what? Near. Listen, there are a lot of our people that are not in church today. You know that a new person might show up in church today and just see all these empty seats and be discouraged? People think that it is only when they have witnessed to you, Jesus can save. No, no. There are many ways you're encouraging people you don't know. There are many acts. So when you're thinking, you say, is this thing going to encourage people? Is it going to encourage my brethren? So he said, that's, you begin to think about that. That is all that's pushing you. What am I going to do to bring encouragement? What am I going to do to stir them to do what? What am I going to do for other people to do? That's what builds the spirit. That's what builds the spiritual man. Another key thing that builds the spiritual man, don't be too socially engaged. Praise the Lord. If you're going to have this spiritual growth, don't be somebody that is every social thing. It will not grow. It will not grow. See, because the thing is that when you're socially engaged in everything, they'll be pulling you. And when you become so socially engaged, because it's carnal, you begin to look for honor from men. And you'll be so careful not to make anybody upset. And in the process of not making anybody upset, the person you dump on first is God, because nobody sees it. Praise the Lord. Why do you think this society is growing much? Every football, they are putting it on Sunday. How come they're not putting it on Friday when they have to go make money? How come nobody touches it? They're putting everything on Sunday. Because what they want to say, well, don't touch everything else. Socially engage. If I do it, my friends are going to be upset. Just put it church time. That one is God, nobody. That spirit won't grow. So no matter how much you want to be, don't be somebody that's too socially engaged. Want to be socially engaged. You are in this group, you are in this, that person won't grow. It won't grow and will suffer it. Now, look at John 5. And Jesus Christ began to tell them that when he came. So, this one who is socially engaged, somebody that's not seeking honor and approval from men constantly. And somebody who's not seeking to be politically or religiously correct. Even religion, too, I will show you. You know, people that are so religiously correct, when they see no relationship, when they see, oh, bless you, brother, before they want to say anything, Jesus, but they never touch your life, they never do nothing, everything is, oh, the Lord, oh, the Abba. Come on, leave me alone. Everything they're watching, your clothes, where is, they say he's a pastor, he's beginning to buy this kind of tight suit, Abba, if you want to go buy your own. By your own, I bought it. Somebody wanted to come in and say, I said, okay, fine, I don't want to go to heaven. If you are the one that are taking people there, wait for me at the gate. And since you're not the one, I'll show up there with my tight pants. Jesus, I say, hey, Jesus. The grace is a come on, baby. Yes. Politically, religious too. Don't look at what Jesus, and Jesus saw, and that's why Jesus fought the Pharisees vehemently. Man, whenever he sees the vehement, the Pharisees, it looks like something came out of him that is ugly. John 5:44. How is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive what? Praise and honor and glory from what? From one another. And yet, do not seek the praise and glory and honor which come from him who is what? Who is alone God. So socially engaged will do that. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Now, also, religious, being a religious person has nothing to do with Christianity. Being a religious person also produced this one. So, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, they're going to see Jesus. Crowd has come. That healer, that man that we hear. He said, when they have all gathered, Jesus began to speak first to who? To his disciples. Turn to them. Say, saying, be on what? On your guard against what? The yeast of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. They want to go around, collect all religious things. But if you ever go deal with them, they're the terrible people you can ever deal with. There's no love in them. If you ever find out they are married, you know that they and their wife has been fighting for 17 years that they've been married. They're all the religious, no love. No kindness, no staring. If they come here, you say somebody else bought something, they'll be mad in their heart. Say, why didn't they consult me? That's the kind of people. So to grow that spirit, to give a chance for that spirit to grow. Socially engaged. So when we become people
who take these things, take the word of God and feed the spirit, and not look at ourselves, and not expose ourselves to all these things, you see that spiritual man begin to grow. You begin to do exploits. You'll be surprised of yourself. You will see how you hit problems and stand and overcome. And there's nothing that is so exciting like victory. I'm telling you, a person who encounters failure many times in their life, I don't care if they're a superstar, it takes away all those gifts and that thing in their life. When you see them, they become a shell of themselves. Victory is wonderful. And in us, there's already a DNA for what? For victory. It's there. You don't have to fast to get it. It's there. It's there. God Himself is in you. He's in you. He's in you.